Hello, I'm Jane Flett, and I've been reading at the Edinburgh Book Festival today. I'm going to read an excerpt from a chapbook I have called The Cat's Gravity. Luke is on a balcony surrounded by cast iron fencing. Luke could be a 12th century monk or a Parisian artisan or a spaceman cast in neon. His hair sticks upwards and outwards in every which way. It cannot be contained by passport booths or formal hats. His hands are long and sharp, with fingers that jut into things. Book pages, love handles, the gaps in air between words, your hair. Luke can't sit still and can't think still. His brain and body quiver endlessly with all the possibility of the city. There are drinks and people, breath and gutters, things. Every nook and back alley is waiting to happen, a fire tucked back in its coals all night, looking for the wind and newspaper to sling it to life. Luke knows for sure that everything is about to explode. New York is poised beneath a piñata full of rhinestones and laughing gas, and Luke is blindfolded, flailing with a stick tied with silver ribbons. This, here, he knows, this is the start of things. This is where they begin. It is 10 p.m. It is July and the air groans with sweat. Subway cars are playing kiss chase beneath our feet. The sky is wondering about dumping its load, exhausted by holding up the clouds all day. By the Hudson River, a breeze is whispering in the abandoned ears of an empty meat factory. It is giggling with the wide streets of New Jersey and the vast coolness of the sea. Downtown is deaf to this laughter. Downtown is pulsating and panting with the hot breath of hang-up callers. It is downtown we are interested in, downtown with its ticks and diversions. And this is where Luke is waiting, on his balcony, waiting with his secrets, waiting with a stick. Luke is licking speed and smudging his cheekbones with glitter mixed with Vaseline, a 5-kilogram bag of turquoise glitter he traded for a fedora with a hook-eyed queer who runs the thrift store on the corner, who covets Luke's clothes and more, his ass. When he saw the bag sitting on the counter like a pregnant, sparkling jewel cat, he knew he had to have it. If he owned that bag, he would never again exist in monochrome. Everything would always be reflecting and refracting. Light would no longer know where it was expected to land. It would be amplified and flung back to the skies. He asked the queer what he wanted for the bag, and the queer looked at him for a long time. Luke was terrified with the thought that something might happen. Anything. He could let it. He was a body, and he was here, out in the world. If he looked back in the right way, his eyes might offer something, and without exactly knowing how or what he had given away, he could end up buckled over in the back room where the scarves and paisley ties overflowed from the shelves and spilled onto the floor like silken tongues. He wondered about letting this happen and how, because he had to have the glitter, and then the queer said, "I'd love your hat," and plucked it from his head. Luke blinked, nodded, and snatched the bag from the counter, whirled out the door before the queer changed his mind. Now Luke angles himself over the corner of the balcony, practices his pose in the smeared reflection of the windows. He rubs speed into his gums, licks his glucose fingers with delight, stains his tongue with the remains of purple eyeshadow from the mocked-up bruises in his faux hollowed eyes. In the city glow at night, Luke is gaunt and technicolor and battered, a giggling minor bird set loose in department store aisles. He is ecstatic and terrified in his conviction that something is about to begin. Luke swings off the balcony, dropping down the fire escape stairs and into the gutter. He picks himself up and lollops down Second Avenue, sniffing furiously.